Hey, Vipin, are you talking?
Not at all.
Okay, I saw your sound and I just wanted to make sure my sound was working.
Yeah, the last person who calls in always has that audio thing going, even if they're absolutely silent.
Okay, good to know.
So hard to wear you at the Chicago.
Yeah, I was
Yeah, I
at the
was at the
Chicago Hack
Chicago.
Fest.
I was not there, as you know. What was going on?
Hey, good morning, folks. I'm
There's
here.
a lot of different stuff, and I would say it was just very much like any other of the Hackfest meetups. I don't know. A lot of meeting, a lot of presentations. Typically, not a ton of, as usual, not a ton of hacking got done. So.
Filled with FOMO, what can I say?
You're filled with what? Sorry, I didn't catch that.
FOMO, fear of missing out.
Got it. All right, let's give folks a few minutes. So, was there any? I didn't, as you know, I didn't make it to the meeting. Was there any architecture-related stuff that we can kind of debrief about, get your kind of input in the discussions that happened, that you had?
What did we talk about? So, well, the big thing from my end was there was talk of a crypto sh a shared crypto library, which would kind of be the first modular component. So, I don't know if that counts as an architecture issue or not.
Sure. I
Otherwise,
mean, we
sorry,
have
go ahead.
called out. We have called out crypto as one of the building blocks in the architecture spec. So, some sense it is related.
Yeah. What else? There's a lot of talk about integration. More talk about the like sawtooth, the Ceth, if you guys are familiar with that. Yeah, I don't know. I get there wasn't like an explicit architecture meeting. I don't know. Stan was there. Stan, do you have any more to add on this?
Okay. Not so much. There's a lot of talk around indie, and there's a lot of interest in the solution by Sovereign and that that indie supports. We did talk a little bit about confidentiality. Yeah, I would guess that from the architecture work group point of view, the biggest things would be the majority, and I guess everybody agreed that there's a need for a common crypto module, crypto library, as Hart said. And again, just a lot of interest around a solution offered by the indie for identity. with a focus on confidentiality.
Got it.
Maybe we'll give a few folks a few more minutes to join.
So, Ben.
Did Ben just join?
Seems to be on, but muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Welcome back, Ben.
Oh, thank you. Not sure why that button get clicked on. But I was saying that thanks for the update, Stan, because I wasn't able to attend the Hackfest either.
Well, I missed you there.
Yeah, we were just saying that there's a lot of FOMO going around.
Yeah. Hey, you know, if it works out, I'll see you guys in somewhere in Lisbon or somewhere.
Yeah, I guess the next one is probably in Lisbon in December. Yeah, I have no idea why that got picked, but.
Cost?
Yeah, I would prefer somewhere Central Europe or somewhere that you could plan a vacation as well, and it would be much better, but.
I think Lisbon is probably about the best time, or about the best vacation place to go in Europe at that time of year, one of them. You don't want to be in Central Europe when it's freezing.
The winter time, okay.
I don't know how much of a broader community we'll get in Lisbon. I don't know if there's like a good fintech or tech or startup scene, which is usually where, you know, we usually host these in places where kind of at least one of those things exists. So I have no idea what the crowd will be like.
Yeah.
Still leaves Berlin for next year.
Yeah, Berlin would be a great place, I think. It's cheap and it's kind of the startup capital of Europe at this point.
Okay, so most of the developers from most of Ethereum developers are from there, right?
Yeah, all of the all of the borough guys are there. So it's a lot of them live there, I think, because the quality of life is good, and it's also really cheap. So,
all right, I think we should get started. Just a reminder that the antitrust notice has been posted on the document, our working document. So, boilerplate announcement on that. So I guess, you know, the first things I wanted to see was, you know, was the debrief that we spoke about briefly looks like you know, one of the topics that came up was the crypto library. Was there an action item to follow up on that?
Yeah, so this is kind of on me to get done. I think we're going to try to write a proposal at some point, but I want to, you know, send out a draft and a bunch of comments to people before that happens. And just some motivation and just to make sure everyone's on the same page. And if people are interested in that, in being on this kind of preliminary draft email list, please feel free to let me know.
So what do we want to do there? In Fabric, we do have a crypto library as well that is available for application developers, application and chain code developers. Are we looking at specific kind of functions or just a general specification of what the library should do?
Yeah, so Ben, this was more as people kind of need more and more functionality. So like, so I know Nathan and some people have implemented BLS signatures, which give you threshold signatures, which, you know, a lot of people are interested in. Mm-hmm. From the Fabric side, I know Gary is interested in possibly doing a, I guess the, if you're familiar with the Blockstream transactional proof, where they proved that the money going into a transaction is the same as the one going out, and they use a special kind of proof and signature. He's also interested in like Zcash style snarks.
Okay.
And the point is that these things are kind of really painful to develop, right?
Right.
We don't want to, you know, duplicate efforts developing these. And it's also much better for security if we have kind of one implementation, and everyone can just use it, and it's all in the same place. And during a security review, somebody can just take a really fine tooth comb and look at, you know, that spot, rather than having to hunt for, you know, for all of the crypto related code. And so our idea was that this is not going to be mandatory. You don't have to use it. But the idea would be that we could kind of start by putting some of the crypto functionality in there. And then as, you know, more development happens, people could, you know, decide, hey, we're doing the same thing, so I'm just going to use yours. That'll be simpler. And we could kind of streamline as the process went on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Actually, that's very interesting because a few months ago, I started to engage with folks at what does IC3 stand for? It's a bunch of universities.
It's the Cornell Tech guys.
Yeah.
Right. A couple of folks from Cornell, they've been working on a set of proof that they call Solidus. It stems from some other algorithms as well. I don't remember the name. But from that, I already have a draft of email to the community, to the technical discussion group, but I didn't send it out. The draft of the email is about asking if people are interested in participating, setting up a new Hyperledger project, and I was calling it Hyperledger ZK for zero knowledge, that including the folks from IC3 on the Solidus project and the folks from IBM on their zero knowledge on Identity Mixer. And the folks from ZK Snark, actually, if I pronounce it correctly, trying to get together on this project. However, when I moved over to State Street, I learned that the interest is really not really focused on, especially from customers who have a problem to solve. You know, ZK stuff is quite advanced and quite early in the cycle. So they are more interested in trusted execution environment. So something like, you know, SGX and from Intel, or there's another thing from IBM and other environments from many other vendors out there. So that kind of like distracted me a little bit of trying to compare between something that available as part of a trusted execution environment versus crypto setup libraries. Because certainly at the end of the day, having a trusted environment also involving crypto from an encryption decryption point of view, but it's all operated in a trusted environment. And because of that, it would not require, you know, advanced crypto algorithm like zero knowledge kind of stuff. So that's why I didn't send that out, and still discussing with some folks about the merits and pros and cons of both of that. So maybe we can put our head together on this and propose that.
Yeah, so I think the even the Intel guys who are, you know, obviously heavily invested into SGX in this kind of, I guess, trusted execution environment, if you want to call it that, are for this sort of crypto library. Because as you point out, they don't really need stuff like zero knowledge, but something like a good threshold signature implementation. I know Mick was interested in having that.
Right.
So there are definitely, you know, crypto protocols that that they would be interested in. And I know that Mick and Dan at the Hackfest expressed interest in this sort of crypto library existing. So I think you're right. They might not care as much about zero knowledge, but in general,
yeah.
You know, they thought it would be a useful idea for other non-zero knowledge protocols.
But shouldn't we be dividing the heart between the bread and butter, like the elliptic curve stuff, the hashing, and then on top of that, all these other things? And aren't there already well-vetted libraries for those bread and butter kind of stuff, or are there not? I mean,
For certain things, Vipin, yes. So obviously your standard signature is your standard hashing. You know, we're not going to create anything new there. And we, you know, we're not going to just blindly throw new crypto in. We're only going to use kind of, you know, standard vetted implementations. And if we have something like this, we're going to have kind of different branches, right? We're going to have, you know, we're going to have a branch for like standard implementations that have been like run through the NIST gauntlet and kind of everyone trusts. We might have another branch for things that have kind of become de facto standard and we don't know are broken. They may not be as rigorously trusted as some of the NIST stuff, but they're things that people want to use. So, you know, it's worth having one implementation instead of many. And this would be things like ZK SNARKs and like the Blockstream confidential transactions proof and signature.
And the BLS stuff that we were once talking about, is there an implementation that is written by one of those guys?
There are definitely implementations. I don't believe there are any, you know, standardized implementations. So this would kind of fall into the second category. Or rather, there aren't any implementations that are standardized to the, like, you know, NIST level. So, and again, these are, go ahead.
NIST always draws, you know, especially the curves, people are suspicious.
Yes, but I mean, there are a lot of different, isn't there a NIST standard for a curve 25519 though?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was at that crypto conference here in Colombia about one year ago now, where there were, you know, obviously the NIST guys were there, and then there was, of course, the opposing camp who were talking about the, you know, suspicions surrounding the curve put out by NIST.
Yeah.
You were worried about the NSA influence?
Right. This goes back to kind of the dual EC PRNG and the fact that generally when you're picking a curve, it's a good idea to show how you generated your randomness when selecting the curve. So like people will do things like hash Shakespeare and say, oh, well, I hashed like the first chapter of Romeo and Juliet, and this is where I got my randomness from. And then if you want, you can verify that. But NIST didn't expose how they picked their randomness, which worries people. Because maybe there's like some vulnerability that affects like one in a million elliptic curves. That's very hard to find, but the NSA found it. And so then NIST happened to pick like one of those one in a million elliptic curves to standardize. That's the worry, at least.
So coming back to you know, what we want to cover in the architecture document on this crypto library, right? So I just cut and paste what we currently have as a placeholder for the crypto modules, and I think they're all listing right now the plain vanilla crypto functions, and just you know, and the intent there was to see you know, whether we can just have an abstraction layer so that we can plug in the standard modules for these functions. So do you, were you going down the path of adding more functions to this list, like you know, the threshold signatures and so forth? I'm just trying to understand how we can feed this into and align with what we have in the ArcDoc.
Yeah, so I think the gist was that kind of people are going to want to use some of the non-super standardized crypto. So like threshold signatures is the perfect example of this. So like Nathan, I know, has a very cool use for threshold signatures in Indy that allows people to perform more efficient blockchain reads. And I'm sure he can comment more on that. But again, there's not, you know, a super standard version of BLS signatures out. So if a bunch of people, you know, wanted to use threshold signatures on their own, they might come up with there might be different implementations in play within the Hyperledger project, which from kind of a security and efficiency perspective is substandard.
But there are others besides threshold signatures?
And yeah, so all of this ZK stuff, to the various degrees, you know, from the like Blockstream stuff to the, yeah, Nathan just unmuted. I'll let him talk.
All right. So can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Uber conference decided to make it so I couldn't unmute myself because it dropped off the internet connection. But yeah, we have an indie crypto library. We've been trying to move all of our crypto fundamentals into to help make some of these pieces reusable. We've been talking with Manu Drivers and Jan Kamenish on the IBM team for a while about making it so that we have a shared implementation of some of these tools, because we've been auditing each other's stuff back and forth for a while, and we'd rather share a lot of that implementation. So we have the BLS signature scheme that we're using to do what we call state proofs, which is similar to an Ethereum state proof. So when you query a node, you can trust that the node is giving you back the correct answer as signed by the ledger as a whole. And then we're also using kind of the ZK technique inside of our verifiable claims implementation to do selective disclosure. There's a bunch of cool things I think we could do if we have those shared libraries in place, in terms of making it so that the ledgers themselves can present verifiable claims for consensus on behalf of the whole ledger. And all those crypto fundamentals are mostly coming out of the Apache Milagro crypto library, the AMCL library. So we're not trying to create our own crypto. We're just trying to make it so that the techniques that we're using on top of the fundamentals are implemented in a common way and correctly, so that as we move towards standardizing some of these techniques, you know, as NIST catches up and so forth, we have an implementation that's already been vetted and can serve as a reference.
So,
go ahead, Rob.
So currently it looks like threshold signatures, the BLS signatures, are the number one, you know, non-standard function. And then did I hear, you know, the ZK function from Blockstream? Are you looking at those as well, Nathan?
Yeah. We're not really looking at doing the ZK SNARKs approach. I'm not familiar with exactly what other ZK techniques Blockstream has been looking at. We're also, there's an accumulator-based revocation scheme that we use quite extensively, so you can do revocation in a privacy-preserving way, that we'd probably want to put the fundamentals for that inside the shared crypto library. Trying to think of what else. There's a couple of other less probably significant pieces that would be a good idea to put in there, like some primitives to be able to do HD keys on ED25519 curves and a few things like that. But that's kind of what we have so far.
Okay. Is there like a documentation of those? Is there a documentation for those?
There's two repositories inside Indy where we kind of have some documentation for this. One is the India non-creds repository. It has a couple of papers about these techniques in the documentation folder. And then the Indy SDK code right now has we've coded up all these in the Indy SDK, and it's a Rust library that is exposed to a C callable library. So we compile it to an SO, and then we make wrappers for it for several languages. And we're just going to move that functionality out of the Indy SDK code down into the Indy crypto library as the first step. But I think that will give us a crypto library that has the C callable interface for all the primitives we're using so far. And then I talked to Mick at the Hackfest about whether or not the Rust library as a C callable library would work inside of SGX. And he expressed some concerns about Rust likes to include a lot of operating system functions when you compile it down. So we need to kind of go through that and look to see if the API surface or the linked SO is including too much or too many OS dependencies, and whether we can continue to do that in Rust or whether we should just go ahead and port it all over to straight C. I know Jan also said if we can get a C callable library, that will work, but we might want to start porting it to C. So we'll want to just talk through that with the group. I'm actually hoping to put, I was kind of like what Ben was talking about with Zero Knowledge project. I'd been working to try to get a bunch of the folks who were working on Zero Knowledge to come to the Hackfest in Europe, because Jan's team's over there, and there's several other folks that are working on kind of the Zero Knowledge techniques over in that area. And I'm hoping that maybe we can get a bunch of them together to go through which parts of this of the ZK protocols ought to go into this library and how we can best share it without duplicating effort. I'm not sure who's going to come now that it was moved to December, but I'll make another run at seeing who's going to show up.
Yeah, and in that connection, Nathan, I had spoken with Aaron Troma and also with Andrew Miller about showing up at the identity calls in order to discuss whether we could use some of those techniques and also to review anything that we might have. At that point, we were sort of a little thin on the details. So since now your Indy project has come along quite a bit, I think it's time for us to invite them again to either the identity working group or the architecture working group, either one, and to talk specifics and to also try to get a sense of reviewing the stuff that is there. And, you know, Aaron seemed interested when I spoke to him at Consensus.
That sounds great. I'm certainly we'd like to stay involved there. I know that Dimitri has reached out to a lot of the guys in the crypto community to make sure we keep them informed about what we're working on and making sure that we're getting the right eyes on things at the right times. So any involvement on the part of other people who are working on doing the same, I think will help get that code vetted and shared in the right places as well.
So I guess Hart and Nate, can you kind of take the lead on kind of identifying the non-standard functions? And first of all, Hart, is the list that that's there in the ArcDoc today for the standard functions good enough, you think? Or is it missing some of the standard crypto functions that we need to probably at least describe?
I'm not looking at it right now, Ram.
I just cut and paste it into the notes, if you're looking at the notes.
Okay. I'll take a peek. But kind of what I was thinking is we start off this library in kind of a very, very kind of, you know, whatever manner for people. So basically, we let people just load their own crypto there. And at that point, okay, I don't see it in the notes.
This is, you know, right in, let me highlight it and see if it shows up in yours.
Oh, there it is. Sure. Yeah, we're probably going to want more stuff than that. But again, it's going to be very, very project dependent. But no, as I was saying, kind of phase one is everyone can just put in what crypto they want to share or what crypto they use into the crypto library. And then, you know, people can kind of see opportunities to, you know, to reduce effort by combining. So like Nathan was talking about, where if two people are doing the exact same thing, they can just decide to maintain one library together rather than to have two separate libraries. This will also allow people, you know, if you're looking to use crypto, it will make it very clear that rather than kind of, you know, implement your own or, you know, throw in some library, you can just kind of use the stuff from the standard library. But the point is, you start in a very kind of opt-in way where you don't have to use it, but you can if you want, and hopefully it makes things easier, and hopefully it catches on because it makes things easier and people decide to use it.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, what I was going with was how much do we want to document in terms of functional description of those functions in the ArcDoc, going back to our deliverables from an ArcWare group perspective.
I mean, I think, you know, it's we probably don't need a ton of description just because they are going to be relatively standard functions, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, so if we just say, oh, there's a BLS signature implementation, you know, that kind of says it all, right? It's we're not really doing anything new.
Right, exactly. So, you just need to list it out and provide pointers to, you know, perhaps a couple of sentences for just those reading the doc and point them to references which have the description, right?
Yeah, exactly. That sounds like a perfect thing to do.
Yep. And so, you know, we've had this teed up, but maybe we, perhaps as a process of what you're doing for the actual library, between you and Nate, whether if you can just list out the other things. I think we've captured some of the notes here, but you know, if we can list them out, then we can start filling out that section in the ArcDoc as well.
Yeah, I think we should also get Jonathan Levi involved if possible, because he's, I think he was a student of Bonnet.
No, he wasn't. He is involved. He was not a Dan student.
Okay, so somewhere in, he was in Stanford, the same as you, right?
Yeah.
And he didn't finish. I know that because
I think he got a master's, but
yeah. Anyway, he went on to do the Hasera thing. So
he is involved in this. We had a lot of discussion at the Chicago Hackfest about this, and he is one of the people who will be involved in kind of this initial draft phase.
Awesome. Okay, so let's as you're going through the process, can you kind of perhaps keep linking either to this to the notes page, or list them out in the ARC work group draft? That'll be great.
Sure. Yeah, and it'll kind of depend on what people want to include in there. We can immediately guess some things will be included, but I kind of have no idea what people will want to put effort in.
No, I liked your framing of saying let's capture it in two classes, right? One is the standard functions, which everybody needs, right? Basic building blocks. And the other are the non-standard functions, which could be useful, and then that's, it will have more experimental stuff like the ZK functions and so forth, right?
Yeah, and we might even have like a third branch of kind of, very researchy stuff that we will still require kind of publication history for, but kind of really cutting edge stuff.
Okay, so three classes. So standard functions, and then what would you call the second one? So non-standard.
I would call it like standard, semi-standard, and kind of a research branch.
Experimental. Okay.
Yeah. And the research branch, there would still be a pretty high bar. Like, we're not going to just let someone throw a completely like hacked together thing, right? But if someone comes out, like if someone at Eurocrypt this year comes out with a really nice new Snark implementation, right? And it's brand new, but there's a peer-reviewed paper, there's a peer-reviewed implementation, that might go in like the research branch.
All right, sounds good. So I think this is a good thread. Something that's been pending in our artwork group queue for a while. Most of the standard functions are kind of, sounds like they are included in, for instance, the abstraction layer you guys put in Fabric, right? Is that correct? What on this list is not covered? If you're talking, you're muted.
Yeah, I'll figure out how to unmute myself. Most of the standard functions are really, a lot of these functions already are part of Go library, right? Because we use Go development. So Go libraries provides almost all of these functions. Very few functions that we have to add on top of that. If we are talking about different languages, then certainly we have to look for them. A C library is also very, very comprehensive as well from the standard set of functions point of view. The stuff that we did quite a bit of work on is interfacing with hardware modules, the HSM stuff. So that's where the lacking is. There's a specification, was that PKCS11? But the implementation for that is really the lacking from different languages. So that's the part that we and also on which environment. So because of that, we did provide implementation, specific implementation from the firmware always to the specification on that front to interface with HSM modules.
Okay. And is that part of the library that you have in Fabric, or is that?
Yeah, that is part of the library. It's all in Go, GoLang.
Okay. I guess where would we put that? Is that a standard function to interface with the HSM PKCS 11?
It's really hardware specific. So that implementation, the HSM implementation, is the one that we have is specific to the IBM mainframe HSM. And there are another partner who implemented for another company. I don't remember the name anymore, but because they use that company's HSM modules, so they implement a interface for that.
Interesting. Okay. So I guess, is there any common element for the PKCS 11 that would go in a standard function, right?
And you know, from the PKCS 11 interface point of view, so that's a standard specification.
Yeah.
But the implementation underneath that is quite specific to each hardware platform.
So the hardware the platforms don't support the PKCS 11 standard interface? They have some proprietary...
Right. So like in the case of the IBM mainframe there, you know, that interface layer to talk with the PKCS 11 from the bottom up, that one is specific to, you know, IBM hardware. And then above PKCS 11, above that, then the application would be able to call into that layer without any specific changes, unless the implementation underneath trying to introduce some additional extensions. For example, the way that we derive the keys contains specific information, so that could be different, and because of that it would cause additional extensions on top of PKCS 11. But if one does not use the extension, then everything would fall into the standard interface.
Got it.
So, you know, it could certainly be part of the library with appropriate documentation, and folks can continue to add to the implementation on for a certain HSM module.
Yeah, we could ask the HSM vendors if they want to kind of contribute that, right?
Right.
I was under the impression that many of the HSM vendors do support PKCS 11 direct interface, but, you know, maybe.
Yeah, they do for a very minimum set of functions. And then especially in the area that we are dealing with, I don't remember the specific function and context, but we do have to add additional enhancement.
Got it.
So by the way, we are not only looking at a documentation, but we're also looking at proposing a project in which we gather these libraries, right?
That's correct. I think that's what Hart and others were discussing as a proposal, I believe, in the face-to-face.
Okay, great. So I want to join that effort because, yeah, as I said, early in the summer, I was on the curve of doing just that, and the TEE came and I kind of like delayed the whole thing, trying to figure out the pros and cons between those two. But yeah.
Sure, yeah. I'll include you on the I'm going to try to get an email sent out this week about it, and I'll be happy to include you, Ben, or anyone else that is interested.
Keep me in the loop as well, Hutch.
Sure.
Nathan, was there anything else? We were just also doing a quick debrief from the face-to-face. Was there anything else from a face-to-face that would be relevant for our ARC work group? We didn't have any official, I couldn't make it out there. And I think the emphasis was to try to do more of real hacking as opposed to work group discussions there. So, I just wanted to, for those who attended, wanted to kind of get your input on what's relevant for our ARC work group.
Well, there's two items that I think are really relevant to the architecture group that I think we have some momentum getting started on. We weren't able to get as much done at the Hackfest as we would have liked. One is making it so that attestations and keys that come from a system like Sovereign and Indy can be validated in the other environments. So Mick and I had some good conversations about how to validate items that are anchored on Indy inside of the SGX environment. We also had some discussions on how DID, or the distributed identifier specification, could work inside of some of the other ledgers. I know that the guys from Fabric wanted to have some more discussions about both that and also how we could talk about what the ledger requirements are for Indy and what blockers we had with the other ledger platforms at the Hyperledger in terms of being able to use them as our core ledger. So those are two topics that I'd like to pick up with those folks at some point. I don't know if the architecture working group is the right venue for that or whether I should just engage one-on-one with the maintainers of those projects, figure those two out. But there was certainly some interest in that at this last meetup in Chicago, and I don't want to let either of those items slip off of our radar.
I think, attestation is a good one, but I put that in the bucket of how do we do some level of interoperability between blockchain net, instances, if you will. And I think the recent proposal from the Interledger folks is along that topic as well. So I was mentally kind of, as you were talking, mentally putting that under the interworking kind of requirement. Would you agree with that kind of bucketing?
Yeah, that seems fine.
And, we do have that identified as a topic we want to get into, and given Interledger's come up, we need a thread there. Attestation, you want to talk a little bit more about what you mean there?
In particular, there's a lot of use cases for blinding and securing a data stream that needs to have another party provide the authorization as to whether something is allowed or not allowed. And verifiable claims, as they're implemented in Indy, are a really good use case or a really good pattern for implementing that use case. So, for instance, you could take a sawtooth ledger and have consensus around whether or not something was done with the data, and then issue a verifiable claim that says whether someone's allowed to liberate data from a secured environment. And the verifiable claim pattern works quite well for allowing an entity that's not in control necessarily of the encrypted data to give authorization for that data to be used or that data to be decrypted. I don't know if that's a general use case for other Hyperledger ledgers or not, But I certainly kind of find that topic very interesting in terms of using selective disclosure claims as an authorization component. I know we have talked about that in terms of the identity discussion for system entities and having kind of a more general pattern for authorization that doesn't rely on the core system identifiers that participate in the consensus algorithm directly. That's probably a deeper topic than we want to go into in the short term, though.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, so I guess, you know, we do have the basic authorization functions, which is the covered in the identity functions. But I guess this is a more, this would be more of the stretch goal aspect of authorization rather than the core, because I think our initial scoping, we were trying to say, hey, let's at least treat the system identity and system entity authorizations as something that's in the clear, right?
Agreed. So, and this is kind of quite a bit deeper than that. So I guess
right.
The thing to make the group aware of is that we are investigating how some of those integrations could work in practice. And hopefully that work will bear some fruit that we can talk about.
Yeah. And we did kind of say, hey, it's a stretch goal to allow those authorization functions to be extensible for, you know, wider purposes. So, you know, I think it's kind of relevant in that broader context. Sounds good. And the second item, I'm not sure I captured that. So this was around DIDs and...
So it's kind of what's the base level of requirements to make a decentralized identifier work in each of our ledger platforms so that we have some base on interoperability of the identifiers themselves. The decentralized identifier stack is going through another round kind of changes this next week at the Rebooting Web of Trust conference. And so I made a pitch at Hackfest for other maintainers to maybe take a look at that spec and see what they think needs to happen with it so that it would be more applicable to their ledger platforms. That spec is kind of plastic and there's the opportunity to make some changes and suggestions depending on what requirements they have. Hoping that folks take a look at that and maybe give some comments on the GitHub repository that we shared. It's being worked on through the credentials community group at the W3C. So there's a GitHub repository there and an issue tracker. So any pull requests against that repository or issues logged would go straight to that team, not just who's working on it at Hyperledger, but the people who are working on it just generally across all the blockchain and ledger ecosystem.
Yeah, as you know, Nathan, we have been discussing some of this stuff in the identity working group, and I did meet with Drummond last week, and he was talking about this conference in Boston about the DID, and hopefully we can all take a look at the spec and say something about things that are missing or wish we had. In particular, I think it should be the people in the identity, working on the identity pieces in each of the DLTs, like the Fabric or Sawtooth Lake or, you know, Burrow and so on.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So if any of you end up going to Rebooting the Web of Trust, I'll send my regrets because we have a couple of cryptographers and some other folks that are going to be there, so you can say hi to them.
Okay. We have the last few minutes. You know, just want to touch on some of the open items there. Greg, do we need more information on the smart contract? Do you get a chance to kind of look at what we have in the notes? Is that a good enough starting point? Do you need more from us?
Hey. Hey, everyone. I'm sorry that I was late. I had a call that was 30 minutes that I couldn't miss. But So I've looked it over, and I will basically come clean and say I've been a little bit of a bottleneck. So here's what I've done so far. I've taken the notes. I've kind of repurposed a lot of the structure that we had, especially kind of in the beginning of the consensus paper, to try to think about this as, okay, here's volume two in this series of architecture working group papers, right? And so, pulled out a lot of the stuff that I thought would be, inappropriate and redundant, right, for this volume two, but tried to keep some of the things that establish the context. Because I think at least some of the people who read this smart contract paper and future papers won't have read the first one, right? And so I think we have to, repeat some of the context setting, but not all of it. And try to kind of call out, okay, here's what's covered in the first paper on consensus, if you're interested in those things, kind of like getting the full view of the architectural approach that the Hyperledger community is taking, then, definitely go read this, first paper. But here we're going to focus on smart contracts. And then I've ported over all of the content. And I'm kind of just trying to get my head into it. I've got a little bit of travel time tomorrow, and I'm planning on just really using that to go through and work on it. The other thing that I did is you all may remember seeing the name Sally Cole. So Sally is the freelance writer who helped us get the first paper kind of across the finish line, and I thought did a really terrific job. And I've reached out to her because it just is turning out that the fall here is really busy from a travel perspective, and I really want to make sure that I don't end up being a bottleneck on this. And I've asked her if she'd be comfortable coming into this one a little earlier than she came into the first one. And I still think that there's probably a few hours worth of work at least that I need to do on the notes to kind of flesh it out and structure it into, what seem like logical sections. So that's kind of my update. And so it isn't as much progress as I had hoped, but my goal is to be able to give you a much shorter, concise answer to that question, Ram and team, by the end of this week, right? So that is to say, by the end of this week, be able to say, here's the link to where I am. I've, called out the sections with comments where I feel we're really light, and called out the sections where I have questions, right? So that, hopefully over the next, between now and the next call, folks will have a chance to go in there and flesh out some of the areas, clarify some areas where I've got questions, and then dovetail kind of with the skill set that Sally brings, which is from a voice and grammar and that perspective. So that's kind of where I am. Wished I had been a little further along, but we had a company offsite last week, and prior to that I was at another conference, and so I've been a little slower in doing the work than I had hoped.
No worries. Thanks. That sounds like a great plan.
So be on the lookout. I'll hopefully, my goal again is to have that initial pass out to this team end of this week.
Sounds good. And the last one, probably want to check on was, I think, Ben Nathan, you were kind of looking at the identity section and the functions. Is that still something that's being worked out? I didn't get a chance to look at that. There's a separate Google Doc, right? I didn't look at it before the meeting. Any updates there? Do you have like an ETA of when we'll have a draft for review?
I don't have any TA on that. It's one of those things that just keep pushed down my task list with, you know, the travel and code commitments. I need to circle back around on that and see how I can push it up my priority list.
Great, thanks. That'll be great. And Ben, I know you're taking on a new role and you're probably busy as well, but it'd be good to get that.
Yeah, so I have material, you know, already. So just a matter of trying to find time and bring it in the right format and to put it there. So maybe you can aim for something the next for the next meeting, at least to have some there so that we can review.
Sounds good. All right, guys. Thank you so much. I think we're continuing to make good progress and looking forward to keep the momentum going.
Cool.
Sounds great.
And and for those interested, I guess there's a Friday meeting on the privacy and confidentiality that Nick's running as well. So quick reminder on that.
Wait, is that Friday or Thursday?
It's Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific.
Okay.
You mean 8 a.m. Pacific?
8 a.m., sorry. Thank you, Hart. All right, folks. Thanks so much. Have a good one.
Thanks, bye-bye. You too.
Well, I've been sitting here all day. I've been sitting in this waiting room. And I've been waiting on my friends. Yes, I'm waiting on this conference call. All alone, and I'm on hold. Yes, I'm.